Look, I, you know what? It's nice that we're kind of both repping today. We're feeling like, I very rarely wear rugby jerseys.
You're in the rugby jersey and I'm not.
Yeah. And I'm in a hat and so are you, which isn't that unusual for us though. Let's be fair.
We're very big on the hats.
Yeah, yeah. And just quickly before we rip, we won't have our full massive usual hoopla bullshit talk because things have fucking happened, haven't they? My God.
This escalated very quickly.
Yeah, exactly. It reminded me a lot of my first sexual experience. It was a, you know, like, it was a surprise that it happened, that anyone would actually go anywhere near my penis, and then it was over before it even got going. You know, like, that's two pumps and a squirt, and it was done. That was the firing... Pardon?
That's not how I remember it.
I remember it, is it? For you personally, or our first... Okay, anyway. Holy smokes, man. It's the middle of January, and this is... I don't want to be thinking about rugby.
You're in golf mode.
I'm in golf mode. I was on the course yesterday when this all happened, and I got shot my best score ever.
80.
I had a six-footer, which you don't get a good score without... I was putting really well yesterday, and I had a six-footer to get a birdie on the 18th. And I didn't know what score I was on, but if I got it, which I've been getting for most of the day, I would have got 79, which breaking 80 would have been huge. But I'm chuffed with 80. Tell you that. You know, we could just talk for a half an hour or so about my golf, if you like. It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Although the reliability of a Chinese internet connection may not know it.
Anyway, I got off the course, was on the 19th hole, and a couple of the old boys that I was playing with, they were like, shit, razor's gone. And I went, what? Excuse me? And they were like, yeah, he's been fired. And they're like, just like run-the-mill kind of Kiwi rugby fans. And then, no, not massive fans, but so then they're like off to talking about something else like 45 seconds later. And I'm floored. I'm having heart palpitations. What on earth is going on? We had to go. You give me a rundown of how things happened for you over there in China.
Well, you kind of since my dad passed away, I'm missing this kind of news source. Like, he's my rugby news source. Ah, did you see this? Did you see that? And then a couple of days ago, you sent me a message about Adi Savia, and I was like, what the fuck? And then
that was the first you saw the message when I sent you that, because I sent you the article from in the Herald where it was saying Artie's going to stay in Japan, scathing review all around, it could go to Leinster, all that shit. And you're thinking, holy smokes.
Yeah, I was thinking this has escalated quickly. Obviously, he's fallen out with Razor. Something's not going on. Maybe they're going to do the Fozzie thing and like sack all the assistants. And, you know, Razor will have a new team for the next couple of years. That's the track my mind went down. And then the next day when I got up, my mom, who's traveling with us in China, she also filled in the Gaza role. She's like, oh, shit, looks like Razor's going to get the sack. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And some bloke from Ireland broke the news. Some guy 20,000 kilometers away broke the news from the Irish Independent. What the fuck? How did he get the scoop?
I don't know. He must have good sources. He's probably not telling.
Yeah. I think I actually heard a podcast with a guy. He followed his nose. He went through the Leinster channels to see if the actual rumor was viable there. Apparently it wasn't. And then he just kept on digging to get to it. So some great bit of journalism. And lo and behold, unprecedented move to get rid of an All Black coach at this time in their term. Like, he was fully on board for at least the next, you know, it was hard to comprehend a world where he wouldn't be coaching in the next World Cup.
It didn't occur to me as a possibility. I didn't even think that was on the table.
No. The review must have been fucked. It must have been kind of so scathing. Like, for players to say, I don't even want to play with them. It was interesting to even hear, like, the culture was so bad and so widespread that apparently Dalton Papali'i didn't want to go from the... He got the call up after an injury to play for the ABs, and he refused it. Wanted to stay with the ABs 15.
That I hadn't heard. That's nuts. What kind of New Zealander refuses an All Blacks call up? It just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. And what kind of like once in a generational player like Adi Sevier, you know, the spiritual leader of the team, says, I'm not going to stick around. There's so much to unpack here. Like the dominance of player power, is it too much in the hands of player power? I've heard a bit of shit about, you know, it's just a bunch of Jaffers once again taking down a Cantab coach. Was he given a fair shake? All this sort of thing. But for me, what I really feel for Razor. I think he's a really unique cat and unique character, and he's lost his job, and that's not great. It's not fun. I thought he was refreshing in a lot of ways. We were massive on the bandwagon to get him in. But at the end of the day, this is a massive, massive fucking bold move by David Kirk and the board of the NZR to be able to make this move. And for me, this is our line in the sand. This could be the moment where New Zealand rugby and the All Blacks completely turn around and say, you know, we are that team, and anything less than that team, you know, you get the sack. If you don't have that aura, if you don't have the performances on the park, you know, your head's on the chopping block, or, you know, that is the level. Or if whoever comes in next and we just fail to live up to it, we've basically thrown everything we possibly can, and we're never going to be that team ever again, you know, and we've lost literally everything. So it seems like a real, real crucial point. New Zealanders don't accept our All Black team to be anything less than fucking amazingly excellent, and they certainly haven't been. So 74% winning record to still get the flick. I heard someone saying, I heard a thing, it might have been the dude from Egg Chasers, he actually went up the world rankings this year, still got the flick. It's unprecedented. It's amazing stuff.
The thing was more about Ireland dropping. Like we pretty much stayed steady. I think our pre and like start of the season, end of the season ranking was pretty much static, but Ireland dropped points this year. So they
is he back? He's back. Hey mate, you were frozen like this when you left. Okay.
I was saying that Ireland dropped below us more than us gaining. Our world ranking pretty much remained static throughout the year. So we didn't
gain. It's a ranking in terms of ranked as opposed to other teams. We still went up the ranking.
You know? Up to the rankings, but our points total was pretty much static.
74% win record. Nobody in Europe has a win record like that.
I don't know if Rossi's got that record. I can't remember what his stat is, but
I think they've got, obviously this year they only had two losses this year, didn't they?
More than Razor.
Yeah, they had us and the Aussies at Ellis Park. And, you know, 20 wins out of 27. Jeez, the Welsh would bite your arm off for that. But he's gone. He's gone. Is it just me, or as we've spoken about this a lot throughout the year, everything's just felt weird. It just hasn't felt like a real proper All Black team in a way.
You used the word clunky in your video yesterday, and it felt like the right word, right? They never really at any point got 100% firing, eh?
No. Like, your things are meant to be just absolute, pardon the pun, like on the razor's edge of like excellence. Like, things are meant to be sharp, potent, flowing, like top level athletes who are incredibly skilled, who are able to trust their abilities. I just got really fucking sick of hearing the word execute, that we failed to execute. We're creating opportunities, but we failed to execute. And it just seems as though that the culture of the team must have been such a massive part of it. If you had factions within the team that didn't get along, whether it's the coaching versus the player group or player groups within it, like how we still don't know the full picture, whether it's split within the playing group or is it just management versus, you know, coaching staff, or it just seems to me like from the murmurings that we're getting, it very much was aimed at Razor and his offsider Scott Hansen. They are the guys who are really copping it at the neck.
You gotta wonder if there are like cliques within the camp itself, right? I mean, like it seemed to be as Blues guys, it seemed to be that some of the Blues guys and then Leon McDonald kind of all got shafted, like pushed to the side anyway. Like, it was no Dalton, there was no Hoskins. Then Leon fell out with Reza pretty quickly. Like, these things made it feel like there might be something not happy in the camp, right?
Yeah. That was the first thing that we went, that's weird. He didn't select Hoskins Satutu, who played out of his fucking socks in 2024. Like, was incredible. And for whatever reason, just said, nah, don't want him. And then was like, oh, I would have selected Ethan Blackadder if he was available, but I couldn't. And you're like, Ethan Blackadder gets injured every 2.5 games and has never had a Super Rugby season about it. You know, there's murmurings of like the part of that. This is not a nice thing to sort of insinuate in any way, but some of the clicks were very much down racial lines, that some people felt that there was an anti sort of Māori and Pacifica bias within the teams as well. And a lot of those players are based in the North and Auckland and all those sorts of things. So shit, you can't have that crap within a team. And that's maybe the sort of thing where NZR are going to take some pretty quick movements. It's not good. And how does one actually repair this now, other than taking out Razor and Scott Hansen, that is?
There's too many Scots in the team.
Too many Scots. You froze for Hansen, a long time like Scott. This. You froze for a long time doing this.
Yeah.
And I thought you were like a little boy doing one of those cute photos. What?
Yeah, I was very pensive. Scott Barrett, Scott Hansen. Scott Robertson, there's too many Scots.
Yeah. So, strange decision straight off the bat. No Satutu after having an incredible season. Somewhat vindicated by selecting Satiti probably instead, who went on to be the player rookie of the year. Leon McDonald getting, I know, before that, selecting Scott Barrett instead of Artie Savea as captain turned a few heads. Could understand a little bit. Maybe it was that sort of Cantab bias towards a player that he knew and had been a very successful captain for him in the past. I don't think this reign has been very good at all for Scott Barrett. He has not played his best rugby under Razor, has he?
No, the standout locks, I mean, this year has been Fabian Holland, and then Tupouva'i has also proved himself to be probably our better other lock, right? So if anything, if you were picking it outside, naming your captain first, then you probably wouldn't pick Scotty Barrett.
Yeah. 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 Who knows what his future is going to look like. I think he's absolutely a class player and will still be in the mix for the All Blacks. But who knows what it's going to mean for him going forward. But do you think that this effectively, we are in shambles at the moment, aren't we? Total and utter fucking shambles.
It's unprecedented. Like, it doesn't happen. It's not supposed to be like this.
Yeah. There's so many parallels and comparisons you can make to Fozzie's reign, but just the opposite end of it. Like, Fozzie had 5 losses out of 6 games. Mark Robinson was going to flick him for Razor, but the players went into bat for him and said, no, not on your nally. Put all their support on social media behind their coach. Did everything they possibly could. And it's basically the opposite end of things. If you look at the end of year tour, Razor had, 5 wins out of 6 games on the end of year tour. And then the players say, nah, but we can't fucking stand him. And we're going backwards. Oh, yeah.
Even with Fozzie, when he got those players around him, I don't think it was universal, though. Like, I think Sam Whitelock wrote in his book that he wasn't really a fan of that. He didn't think the players should be putting that input in. Like, it's not their job to say to the coach. Their job is to just play the game kind of thing. But they're definitely – it's a valid point, man, that was the players making sure they had their voices heard. But this time, like you say, it's the opposite. So it must have just been – miserable, which is so bizarre. Like, playing for the All Blacks is a dream.
Yeah. And you're saying I want to stay in Japan instead. Japan one. It is super, super, super bizarre. It really is. And we just thought that Razor was going to be it for us. We were just like, the expectations could not have been higher. like everything he had touched up to that point had got, he had turned to gold. Do you think, and I've sort of been pondering it a little bit today, I thought way too much about rugby for a day in January. This is making me sick. If you have that much success and you're still a relatively young coach, which literally everything you've done in your coaching career has turned to gold, and, you know, with the Canterbury NPC team, with the NZ under-21s, the NZ schoolboys, with, you know, the seven Super Rugby titles in a row, or then even coaching the Barbas to beat an All Blacks 15, you're just thinking, there's a point where we are egotistical humans. He thinks, and then there's everyone screaming, he's the best coach in the world, let's get him on board, what the fuck are we doing? That you just got to think, I am the dog's balls. I am the shit. Like, I know that my ego couldn't handle that level of success without thinking that my fucking shit didn't stink. And perhaps that was a problem that he walked in with too much big dick energy without actually understanding the real, real pressures and immensities and differences between Super Rugby level and international level. Because he hadn't been proven on the international level really at all.
Yeah, maybe didn't face the same kind of adversity that he's, you know, come across. So I guess if success comes so easily at the start, what happens when your initial plan doesn't work?
Yeah.
And it's a weird one as well, because he was always talked about as being the great man manager. And it seems like what's lost in the job is the men.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, Leon McDonald went, and Leon McDonald, he said in one of his original interviews when he first took the job, he said, Leon McDonald is an interesting man to work with because I see everything that could go right. I see everything that's going to go right, and he sees everything that could go wrong. And it was probably that fundamental difference that, you know, Leon was just like, you're fucking living a dream world, mate. This isn't going to work. Or I can't handle your negativity. You need to fuck off and all these sorts of things. Because they certainly didn't seem to. And then there was, you know, murmurings even at the end of this year that Scott, I know that Razor wasn't even that involved in the coaching, that it was mainly Scott Hansen, that Razor saw himself as like an EPL manager that would sort of just send down directives and things like that. That was almost one step to disconnected.
Yeah, it almost made him sound like he was like the director of rugby rather than the actual coach, that he was kind of just, again, managing the men and doing the overall high-level strategy rather than the actual kind of nuts and bolts coaching, which just, again, seemed bizarre. So it's been a time where there's just been so many weird things going on. And then the product on the field has not looked sharp. I mean, how many of those wins, were we looking at 20 out of 27, right? But like, you think about some of the wins here. Like the win in Chicago was friggin' god awful. The win at Eden Park was a yuck game.
That win in Chicago, if you said to me right now, I'll give you $100 to sit down and watch it, I'd go, can you just punch me in the nuts instead? That would be easier. Like, I don't think I want. Yeah, it was just.
It was not good. The first win over Argentina, we just ground them with big forwards. Like, it wasn't. The first game against the French C team was really unconvincing. You know what I mean? Like, the first year, we kind of thought, well, it's the first year.
We gave them a pass.
We beat England, and we were like, all right, well, it's a bit clunky. You know, we beat the English side that came over here. We didn't exactly set the world alight, but it's his first year. Give him a bit of time.
He was riding a wave of just absolute, like, he had so much grace.
No, like, Fozzie, like, anything he did was scrutinized, like, with a microscope, whereas Razor was like, well, he's the surfer dude, and he breakdances, and he's successful, so... All the questions are right.
We never got a breakdance with the All Blacks. I was convinced we'd get one. We didn't win anything of note.
That's it. You mentioned before about whether the success kind of went to his head. I vaguely remember early on he was kind of talking about potentially winning a World Cup with two different countries and stuff. You know what I mean?
It's pretty ballsy. Yeah. You know, you could frame it as like confident, assertive talk, but for a guy who's never coached at the international level, it could be seen as arrogant, very arrogant. And there, and I reckon really the comparison between Super Rugby and international level, or even just club rugby in general and the international level, is like comparing the A-League, which is the Australian competition, which a couple of New Zealand teams compete in, at football, and the EPL. Like, it's a real successful A-League coach. You chuck him, he's like, he's won seven in a row. Get absolute, he might have a shot at the EPL. It might just be great, but the chances are he's not going to be prepared for that level of pressure that comes.
And it's a different game as well, because like Super Rugby, you get a full preseason. You get guys from the academy who've already kind of been brought into the way you want them to play. You know, you get them for a really proper long season. International rugby, you only get
them. They're all based around you. They all live nearby.
Exactly. You only get them a week before the games. You've got a really short window to get all the messaging clear. It's just a different coaching.
It sure is. What's next for? I want to talk on who your candidates are for the All Black coach, and I think there's some pretty exciting options out there. But I heard a rumor that Harlequins is already trying to get Razor on board. You heard this one?
I did not hear that one. I saw that David Cook said
it sounds like you're in China. You're really slow on the uptake of the news.
Yeah, it's almost like I haven't really been following much rugby. I did see David Kirk said that Razor's like he's got a block on his contract that he's not allowed to go to any other like international teams. So it'll likely
can't
be
go to any, can't go to any tier one teams, apparently. But yeah, I heard a thing that Harlequins has made it known that they want to see him. And you know, look, he's proved himself as an incredible club coach. So maybe just a bit young as well for the international level as well, and needed to, like, he got offered a role when Fozzie got first appointed to be an assistant coach. And he said, "No, I'm a head coach."
Yeah, that's it. That's
pretty arrogant. Well,
demanded the All Blacks job, basically, right?
Yeah,
he was kind of the guy pushing New Zealand rugby's hand. I mean, New Zealand rugby, they got their own decisions to make, but he wanted the job. He was determined.
I know I keep saying what he's going to do next, but just one thing I want to touch on is what I'm a little bit fearful of this. I admire the move, and I think if it was the right thing to do, and if we have a better chance of winning that quarterfinal against South Africa under somebody else, we should do it. And if he had completely lost the changing shed, it's probably the best thing to do. If half our decent players don't even want to play for him, you know, it really was probably the best thing to do. But it makes me feel a little bit odd that senior players are saying things like, if you don't select the coach that I want, or that if you don't get rid of the coach, I'm gone, I'm walking, or they're making ultimatums and things like that. I don't know how much of this just come out in the media, or like this whole like notion of player power, because I don't want a coach to go in there and feel like he has to be their best buddies and cuddle everybody and, you know, make sure he doesn't upset anybody. Cause if he does upset anybody, he's going to get mean words written about him, and it's going to cost him his job. Even if he has a relatively good win record, it's a bit of a fine line to tread.
You can be the best coach in the world, but if the players don't want to play for you, then that's a fat lot of good that's going to do you.
But he's had this problem.
Yeah, that's right. He's far from the only coach who's lost the dressing room and ended up getting the sack. You see it more in football than you do in rugby. Rugby's a lot more stable like that. The egos, you feel like, are kept a little bit more in check in rugby. And you're right, there's a big risk if you're letting a handful of senior players dictate terms on how the team's going to play or how the selections are going to go. That's definitely not how it should be. The coach needs to have the backing of his employers, that he's the one making the decisions, not the player. So if he's going to drop a big player, if he's not going to pick the Super Rugby Player of the Year, then that's his prerogative. But whoever gets appointed is going to have seemingly a pretty big task in getting what seems to be a pretty divided dressing room back on the same page.
Now, speaking of which, who's the next coach?
The obvious one seems to be Jamie Joseph, doesn't it? Because, I mean, when the All Blacks appointed him as the coach of the All Blacks 15 last year, it was kind of like,
he's in the background. He's there if we need him. You know what? obviously Jamie Joseph's a very good coach. He's done great things with Japan, got them to a quarterfinal, was won Super Rugby with the Highlanders, over the Highlanders team that had no talent in it. Well, I shouldn't say no talent.
They had Aaron Smith and they had Ben Smith as their kind of key All Blacks.
And then they just had a bunch of journeymen after that, really.
A bunch of guys who were essentially cast-offs from other Super Rugby teams.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's weird that Jamie Joseph did a better job with them than a couple of years earlier. He had like Martin Onu and Tony Woodcock and Brad Thorne and stuff.
Mm.
Maybe big ego players. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. One of the exciting things about Jamie is, does Jamie come with a little man who's renowned for throwing house parties? That's a throwback to an early 2000s joke, party at Tony Brown's. Tony Brown comes along and brings all that sweet, 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 delectable, tasty South African IP and fucking irritates the shit out of the staffers, which I'd love that. I'd love that too. That's my silver lining out of this whole thing. That I've heard murmurings that it's a done deal. He's coming, like, it's murmurings that, you know, they wouldn't do this without a coach, even though David Kirk said yesterday, we're going to have a full and open process. We want people to apply, da 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 da. The murmurings that I've heard is it's a done deal with Jamie, and within the South African contract that Tony Brown originally signed was with, if Jamie ever gets the AB's job, I've got a clause to go. But
yeah, I agree. Despite being,
I think that could be a lot of bullshit.
I read the same stuff, despite being in China, that maybe Tony Brown has an out clause to come home for the AB's job. And I saw that there's murmurings that he's currently with Jamie Joseph in Wellington, like, you know, getting contracts prepared and whatnot. But I don't know. It would not surprise me if it happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's been a couple of rumors in the last couple of days that have come quick, pretty soon, that I thought were pretty outlandish when I first read them. So, geez, that would be a nice one. That'd be a tasty one. Like that's Art of War, that Shang Tsu shit, really, isn't it?
Do you think Jamie's the right guy if he gets the job, though? Like, he's not like a guy who won a Six Nations with, you know, England or Wales or something, like, you know, Gatland.
No,
or whatever.
It's very, very true. And like, obviously he's done good things in the Japan team, although 2023 Japan weren't great.
Kind of criticized for not really moving on from the old guard that he'd taken through to 2019, and he just kept importing, you know, foreigners to play for Japan rather than looking domestically.
He's obviously entrenched in New Zealand rugby, a former All Black himself, has come through the coaching system in New Zealand, obviously deepened with NZR, seems a bit more of that traditional track of All Blacks coach, Razor really presented himself as a bit of an innovator, although they ended up playing really fucking weird, clunky, boring forwards rugby. So I feel okay about it. I feel okay. Look, I really like the idea of Joe Schmidt as well, but I just don't think, I think for so many years, like, Joe Schmidt was great in the 2023 World Cup, obviously was fantastic with Ireland, but with his family issues and things like that, I just don't know if he really wants to, he's got the capacity to be that committed to being the guy for the, you know, at least the next 2 years, going on further from that. And we need a bit of stability. He might be great if we could nab him again I thought it was great for him in 2023. He didn't have to do any media shit, didn't have to do it. He could just focus on coaching rugby, which is clearly what he's best at. So maybe if he comes in that sort of role again, once he's done with Australia, or maybe the stars just aren't aligned for him to be involved. It's hard to know. You really want whoever's going to be the coach to be 100% committed, really. And then the other factors are potentially, I've heard Dave Rennie's name fired about. Vern Cotter, I'm not particularly interested in. Who else have you sort of, is there, could potentially be in the picture? Wayne Smith, I've heard people saying his name.
Joe Schmidt one, like you mentioned, I mean, he's still contracted with the Aussies until the end of the Super Rugby. Not that there's any games on for the Wallabies, but he's still technically contracted. And I think you're right. Like, even though every time he seems to say, I want to spend more time with my family, like, he left Ireland, I want to spend more time with my family. Boom, he got a job with the Blues. I want to spend more time with my family. Boom, he got a job with the ABs. I want to spend more time with my family. Boom, he's the Wallabies coach. Like every time he wants to spend time with family, he's just trying to get out. Keep pulling him back.
He's got a son with health problems, obviously. So I think the only thing going for that is the fact that he can spend more time with his family not being in Europe, you know. So if he's in New Zealand, he can be on call a little bit more.
I think you're right. The best role, if Schmidt was to be involved, would be that kind of Wayne Smith, like not the head coach, but, the, you know, giving that technical expertise that he's, you know, that brain for the game that he's got.
Yeah.
I don't think head coaching for Joe, personally, if I was going to put money on it.
Who would you put money on? Who, Jamie?
Yeah, I would put money on Jamie. I wouldn't put money on Joe. I don't think is a.
I'd be happy with Joe.
You would, even though the Wallaby season ended with a bit of a whimper.
I think what he did with that Ireland team, who, you know, he turned them into a superpower, into one of the heavyweights of world rugby. He did great against the Lions this year. He got that incredible victory at Ellis Park. And then Australian rugby just doesn't have the depth of talent to be able to be to support that amount of injuries to key players.
Does New Zealand rugby just not have the talent that we used to have? And despite the fact that we keep chopping and changing coaches, we're still going to get the same kind of results?
I think you would be delusional not to think that that was somewhat part of it. You know, like, I even think that, you know, people talk about how rugby in New Zealand is a religion. And, you know, when people talk about New Zealand, they think, oh, they love rugby over there. Fucking not as much anymore. Like, there are still a lot of rugby fans about. There really are. It's still the number one sport in the country. But there's just so many people that I chat to who I know have grown up as rugby fans and, you know, would have been balls deep in it at different times in their lives, and they have no idea what the fuck is going on with Super Rugby, and they go, oh, I don't even know half these players anymore when the All Blacks get show up and stuff like that. So they've that sort of fever pitch fandom in New Zealand has died down a little bit, and you lose that, you lose the absolute desperation that every little boy in New Zealand wants to be an All Black because dad's not even a fan anymore. You know, you want to be an All Black because your dad loves the All Blacks, and then the less talent you actually have going towards that. And also the fact that it's not even the biggest participation sport in terms of school sport in the country. Soccer is now, because there's been a lot of studies and things quite rightly done about CTE and all those sorts of things. A lot of mums and stuff, like mums and dads are like, I don't want to fucking... I know I copped some massive knocks when I played rugby, like knocks that would not have been healthy for like a developing brain. Like you get clocked from time to time. It's not a particularly safe sport. And I think people have been far more conscious of that. And that all those factors combined are going to have a knock on effect on talent eventually. You know, there is going to be a point where that Dan Carter isn't playing rugby. We lost that talent, you know, like, well, you know, that Richie McCaw decided to do something completely different. Is now an engineer. You know, like, I don't know if that's an overly negative way to look at it, but I think that's part of it. And I also think the fact that other teams have really, really upped their game and have thrown more and more resources at it. So have we got a couple more World Cup wins in us?
This is just the new normal, that we are a 75% success rate team. We are a team who... you know, might finish second in the rugby championship. Maybe we win it one year, and, you know, we will lose games to Argentina away and things like that. We will cop new biggest defeats ever at home, all that kind of stuff.
Nah, fuck that noise. Fuck that. I can't say, yeah, no, I'm 42 years old and that's never been the case. You know, not in my lifetime, not in our father's lifetime. You know, like, I know they've gone through patches. They had five losses in a row in 1998. Obviously, we had our World Cup troubles, lost many of those tournaments that we really had the world's best team. But yeah, I think part of the other big part of the only thing that we're sort of scraping to hold on to as a public at the moment, and this is almost an indication of that, is that standard as fans, like the fact that we are just wholly and completely unwilling to accept anything other than absolute peak performance excellence, you know, being on the very, very much the cutting edge of the innovators and dominators of world rugby. That's the standard, rightly or wrongly. That's what the New Zealand public expect. And, you know, whether we just need to get, I've always thought that is part of the reason why the All Blacks win, is because the public is just so fucking expectant and unforgiving. And we know that people who have high expectations put upon them usually, you know, not always live up to them, but exceed the performance that they would otherwise have if they hadn't had those expectations on them in the first place. So I still think those expectations are a good thing.
But do you expect whoever takes over to be able to squeeze more out of the talent that we've got left?
I expect them to not to play fucking games where they scrape by 5 points against an Auckland and a French C team, to not let a Wales C team score 4 tries against them at the worst ebb of Wales's rugby of all time, not to put on the most disgusting performance we've ever seen in an All Black jersey in terms of that. I'm talking about Chicago. That was just really, it was like vulgar rugby. I'd rather watch that video, 2 Girls, 1 Cup. It was that sort of disgusting. Although, and I also don't expect them to lose by 30 points. Like, I think the combination of those things and the fact that we never had a dominant, you know, slick performance. We thought, how did the boys play well tonight? Wow, fucking awesome. They looked amazing out there. But you could never say that after any game they played. I don't think there was a single game that they played against high quality tier one opposition where you could go and say that. Oh yeah, they scored some good tries. They looked all right for patches here and there, 10 minutes, 15 minutes here and there. But then they turned off they completely fell off, or they forgot how to freaking pass the ball. The back line looked like complete dog shit for patches. Like, there were just so many patches that just looked so, so bad. And I expect better than that.
Yeah, even when you think back to Fozzie's All Blacks, they had some like really wicked halves of rugby. Like, remember we beat Ireland at Eden Park in that series that we lost to them. But at Eden Park, we played some scintillating rugby for like, what was it, 20 minutes. I think we beat the Box at Mount Smart by just playing unplayable rugby. You know, even if it wasn't 50 minutes, they just unleashed for a while.
Yeah. We didn't have that button anymore. We didn't have that gear.
Didn't seem to, eh?
Yeah. We just weren't executing.
Maybe Tony Brown's the man.
Tony Brown will be interesting. And like, what a fucking amazing story this will be. This is high drama.
Something if he joins, like,
say it again, I missed you.
Will he be like the most hated man in South Africa if he was to leave? I've seen a lot of South African fans convinced that, like, there's no chance Tony Brown leaves. Like, no, he loves it with Rassie. He wouldn't contemplate leaving. You know, what a setup he's in. You know, it's best in the world. Why would you leave?
Because you're a New Zealander and you've grown up worshipping the All Blacks. You've spent your entire career wanting to play for the All Blacks. You've probably spent your entire coaching career, even him, going, the ultimate job for me is being in the All Blacks setup and, you know, potentially one day even being a head coach. And this is his pathway.
So we get Jamie Joseph as our head coach. We get Brown back from the Box. We get Jacques Nienaber as our defense coach. Who else can we get?
Yeah. No, this is my picture. This is what I want. I want, Jamie, Tony Brown, and then I'm going to – this is one or the other. They could be either of these either of these coaches, and I feel like they've both got the kind of wise old sage rugby professor brain, either Wayne Smith or Joe Schmidt. And then I think Jason Ryan retains his role.
As sports coach.
Sports coach.
Who's the new captain?
Ari Sevilla. Ari Sevilla or Cody Taylor?
I think we saw what Artie did with Moana Pacifica, right? Like, it was incredible. That's kept.
Well, do people say, like, well, no, obviously he hasn't, Artie hasn't got the maturity because he threw his toys out of the cart and said, if you don't fire him, I'm gone. And people say, well, no, we don't want someone who's out from them. So, like, I've heard people saying that sort of shit around the place as well.
It's gonna be a job to manage whoever gets it.
It sure is. Do we do you think this was the right decision?
Honestly, if the players weren't gonna play for him, then yes.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that Razor a bad coach. I just don't think he found, in 2 years, I don't think he found the answer. And he didn't look like he was making progress. It was clunky.
Going backwards.
Pretty much the whole time.
It was going backwards. It was getting worse.
The biggest things he did was probably, you know, unearthing a great season from Wallace Setiti and a great season from Fabian Holland a couple of years ago. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We didn't let the Irish beat us in that time. Didn't let the Aussies beat us in that time. Took some thumpings from South Africa, lost twice to Argentina, lost once in a 1-point thriller. That was a good game against the French at the end of last year.
Mm.
And then that loss at the end of the year, which if they win that game at Tookers and they come home with a Grand Slam, does he stay on?
Surely you can't sack them after the Grand Slam, but it seems so harsh that your whole career, your whole job's gone on one game. But it was a bad result, man. Was it like a second worst ever loss to England? Like, there was too many of those.
I think it was probably the right decision. I do think this is a landmark moment for New Zealand rugby, and we're going to see whether the All Blacks are able to live up to that aura that we're holding for them as All Blacks fans, and that obviously the NZR board are holding up, and seeing whether, you know, that is the right move, or we just completely capitulate and we just become fucking Scotland, you know, like just an international rugby team. No offense, Scotland.
Yeah, I think it is probably a defining moment in New Zealand rugby history, in that, like you say, if the new coach comes on and it's more of the same, then clearly the problems, like many people are already saying, and they were saying it, to be fair, when Fozzie was in charge, you guys just aren't that team anymore. Everyone else has gotten better, and you guys just aren't that level. You don't have your 2015 team anymore.
And we're kind of naturally wrapping up there, but one of the things that I've always felt, and you speak to a lot of old rugby fans and fans from our generation, and think, one of the problems they ever did was actually, obviously, Super Rugby and professional rugby was something that needed to happen, but the disillusionment, and I always still have, that's not the right word, we still have the NPC, but club rugby, you know, Auckland, North Harbour, Canterbury, Otago, you know, Wellington, Bay of Plenty, you know, all these guys, Waikato, I'm talking about the NPC club teams, that was like elite rugby when we were kids. Like, that was, you know, other than the All Blacks, that was big shit, you know. And then early 90s we got our first Super 10, and they were the teams that were involved, and you would see high level All Blacks against high level All Blacks, and then you threw in great South African players when they were able to get involved as well. But then we felt, then combining them all, we've never been able to recreate that sort of level of tribalism and support that those club teams garnered during that time for these Super Rugby teams. They've never been able to do it. And now the club teams don't even get the support, nowhere near the support they used to get, because it's clearly not elite level rugby anymore. We're going for the cash grab years ago, and it's kind of biting us in the ass now. I don't know.
There's an interesting parallel there with Wales as well, because it's one of the things that a lot of Welsh fans have kind of bemoaned, is the franchisation of rugby in the country meant that they lost a lot of that previous kind of rivalry. Like, you and I being North Harbour and Auckland fans, suddenly we're supporting one team in the Blues, when we used to hate you guys because it was the Battle of the Bridge.
Yeah, exactly. You know, could not have... you hate your local team, your city rival, your local derby team more than any other team.
That's what it's supposed to be. Supposed to go to work on Monday and be like, fuck you, Tony, we beat you by 6 points the weekend, whereas...
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, if, you know, we do a podcast every week, and if we don't even mention the fact when all, but we might mention it the, like, last 30 seconds of a podcast going, oh, your fucking guys beat me this weekend, or oh, we fucking finally got one up over you. But if it was, like, a big deal, we would be spending, you know, those Super Rugby weeks, like, you know, building up, you know, what our rivalry is and who's going to go. We could put like weird little bets on it. Somebody could shave their pubes if they lost, you know, fun stuff. But, you know, it's just a non-event now. It's just like, oh, and you don't give a, you know, it's nice if you see your team win. You're like, oh, good. But it's not like fucking get in.
Yeah. It's not like that. Definitely not as tribal as it used to be. And it's, I mean, you look at sports which do the tribalism thing well. I mean, the NRL is the one that obviously comes up a lot here, and I know the AFL does it really well as well. You know, all the Melbourne teams, you know, they hate each other, and
yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it's just what good stuff. I got to ask you what do you think Gads's take on all this would have been? It's hard to not think about it. Big piece of rugby news that he's not around for. He saw the last game.
Yeah, he was genuinely pretty patient with coaches. He was never like a real knee-jerk, you need to sack him kind of guy. So I think he would be genuinely pretty surprised that he would have given Razor the benefit of the doubt that, you know, he if you give him a bit more time, he might have been able to get it right.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'd miss him in that moment. Would like him to give his take. You'd want to get his take, wouldn't you?
Oh, man, I'm sure I would have woken up to, like, 8 messages on my phone, like 8 minutes worth of voice messages. Mark! Larry, who the fucking now? New Zealand rugby bastard.
Yeah. How's your mum, dude? Is she all right over there enjoying China?
Yeah. We've been trotting around, going to different cities and seeing different sites and keeping her generally very busy. She's out with my kids and my wife today at, like, there's a mall with like a petting zoo where you can like grab a snake and hamsters. You don't feed them, but they keep them separate. And there's like a frigging deer in there, just in a mall. So they're having fun.
Fucking deer in a mall.
I know. It's random.
Now I've heard it all now. Oh, well, Mike. Well, monumental news for the All Blacks. It'd be setting up a very fascinating year now. Tell you what.
Indeed.
Yeah. Is this episode 1 for season 5 now?
This is the bonus episode.
So is this, because we've done the two, what season is this? It doesn't feel like the welcome back, but
it feels like a bonus episode.
Yeah. Little bonus. Bonus TCGD. Mm. Bonus. All right. All right. Fantastic, mate. Well, good to see you. Good to reconnect and all that sort of.
Andy's frozen. We've both frozen.
I'm not frozen. You're frozen.
You froze for me. Right as you were trying to say good. Right as you're trying to say nice stuff.
You were trying to say nice stuff?
You were trying to say nice stuff.
I was asking you, when are you back?
Oh, I'm back next week.
All right. Sweet, bro. When does all the fucking bastards up north start doing their stuff? When I'm saying that, I mean...
February, so we're not far away.
All right. So when I say just another rugby championship, that is Six Nations. I'm looking forward to covering that. Although I like the fact that it's quite clear that it's also got up the nose of the South Africans and the All Blacks, who are now
greatest rivalry.
Yeah, everyone wants to be the greatest, don't they? Yeah. All right, Mark. Well, fabulous. Nice to chat to you, bud. Give me a call when you're back. And for you guys watching, 2CGD will be back for its 5th season very, very shortly. How about that, eh, Mark?
All right, champ. Get that 79, pal.
Oh, wow. 80 is amazing for me. So I don't know. I've got to be patient. You can't rush these things. If you go out expecting to have an amazing round, you're going to play like shit. So it's a fucking stupid game. It really is.
Go play like shit.
Oh, well, okay. Good to see you. Shaking hands. just Dutch rudding around each other. All right, buddy. Hi, thanks for watching, team.
See you later.
Bye-bye.